A very good morning to you, my dear listener. A very good morning to you, Namibia. Good morning to you, wherever you find yourself in this beautiful land of the brave. It's a Tuesday morning, the 25th of the 11th month of 2025. That means there's only 24 hours before you head to the polls. It's only 24 hours before you head to the polls. Are you ready to vote your regional and local leaders? So hopefully you are, you should be, and maybe you're turning 18, you know, and you're excited for your first vote, and for the first vote of your local, you know, local and regional leaders. Good morning. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning. And this is the last week of this month as well. It's the last week of November month. We're heading now into December, you know, getting closer to festive season. So there are those already in that mood. So good morning and welcome. Welcome to Eagle FM. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, it's a very good morning to you and you're welcome. And thanks just for making that choice, making Eagle FM at this point in time your choice and being in your company at this point in time. So today is the 25th of the 11th of November. And as usual, we start with On This Day, with our first segment of On This Day in Africa. So here is what happened today, November the 25th in African history. In 1980, in Upper Volta, that time is called Upper Volta, now Burkina Faso, the Colonel Seye Zerbo led a military coup that ousted President Sangoule Lamizana. You know, in East Africa, the transition of presidency is just through coup d'etat. Nothing else. Every president is through coup d'etat. Now, Zerbo formed a new government called Military Committee of Recovery for National Progress. So he suspended the constitution and banned political parties. So he also dissolved the National Assembly. So, however, his rule didn't last long. Just 2 years later, he was overthrown in another coup as well. You know? So the transition in most of West African countries is through the coup d'etat. That's the way. And it continues up to now. You know? So 2003... in Nigeria, President Olusegun Obasanjo made a significant announcement regarding former Liberia President Charles Taylor. Obasanjo stated that he would be willing to hand over Taylor to face war crimes charges if Liberia requested it. Now, this move was part of effort to hold leaders accountable for crimes during the Liberia civil war. And today is an international day for the elimination of violence against women. Today marks the United Nations designated a day for race awareness about violence against women. This is also at the start. It's also a start, the start of the 16 day of activism campaign, running from today until December the 10th. So across Africa, civil society groups are taking part in this important movement. So the date was chosen in honor of the Mirabal sisters, political activists who were murdered on this day in 1960, and whose death became a symbol of resistance against gender violence. So, and also today we're looking ahead, we're looking forward to today, on this day, today, right, that day in 2025, the 7th African Union, Africa Union and European Union Summit is set to take place in Luanda, Angola. And the summit will focus on strengthening cooperation between Africa and Europe on critical issues like trade, security, and development. We will have our eye on that one. So that's the roundup for the 25th November on this day in Africa. And our thought for the day, Tuesday, November the 25th, a single hand cannot clap. A single hand cannot clap. Mashuamba kuti onmewume ya witolo na. So a single hand cannot clap. It's the same as that onmewumuya witolo na. So the proverb is a metaphor about independence and cooperation. So literally, just you cannot clap with one hand. You need at least two hands. So it suggests that some things cannot be done alone and require the effort, support, or collaboration of others to succeed. Now, in team setting, you know, it encourages collaboration rather than siloed work, you know. And in relationships, it's a reminder that for a healthy relation, both sides need to engage. And in community building, it promotes solidarity. Success is not just a personal achievement, but a shared one. So in a broader sense, it highlights the importance of unity, collective effort, and working together to create meaningful result. And whatever your decision today or choices you make, so let them reflect the importance of unity, collective effort, and working together to create a meaningful result. That's our thought for the day. A single hand cannot clap. All right. Thanks for joining us. If you just join us now, our time is about 10 minutes past the hour of 8. So we're coming to you live and direct from the Oshana, the mighty Oshana regions. And we're coming from the Ondangwa studio. What we can expect today in our program, what we can expect today in our show, we will be having a guest in a few minutes. We will have a guest. We will look at the elections, the coming up regional and council and local authority council elections. That is coming up tomorrow. So we will look at that. We will also discuss, if we have time, Namibia producing too many graduates in low demand field. And that's a report by NIPDB that coming out just not long time ago. showing that Namibia producing too many graduate in low demand field. We're going to look at that as well. And of course, your participation will also be part of the show as usual. All right. So when we come back, we get to talk to our guest. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Omutia with the Kirokaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafasana, Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shiwikamoshiwana, E. Moyao, Otaingo, what is a winning? Ana Gishifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom, Banawa, Orangeka. The Ethanina, Omeguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yogashifa, Yokutigramo, Ekelefem, Media House. We don't depend on the Haoka Kumbanganina. Kara Omposhipregi, Yumopo, Yumo program, Madetu, Moambo, the Selma, con la gente aquí, datando tu Jerry Jamano Tano, o Liash, y que le femme, lo hay.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, a very good morning to you and good morning to you, Namibia, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. I'm your host, Michael Severi. And today we are looking ahead to an important date for our democracy, 26 November 2025. That's the day we, as citizens, get to choose our leaders in the regional and local authority elections. Now, you might be wondering, what is the difference between those two? Why should we care anyway? So, and how do these elections really affect things like water in our taps, street light in our towns, jobs in our regions, and the basic service we depend on each day? So to help us unpack this, I'm joined by Bishop Lucas Kaluwapa Katenda, a seasoned voice when it comes to constitutional matters, governance and leadership. Bishop Katenda, welcome to the program, and it's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much, and good morning to listeners.
All right, Bishop, with local and regional election taking place tomorrow, the 26th of November 2025, why should ordinary Namibian actually care about this election?
Thank you very much. That's a good question. First of all, is to say Namibia has what we call a state and a government.
Yeah.
Constitutionally, the state is based on the three pillars, the legislature, the executive, and the judiciary. Mm. Those are pillars of the state, irrespective of who is in the government. But the government itself has three levels.
Yeah.
The central government, the regional government, and the local government.
Mm.
Regional government, central government deals with issues that affect everyone in the nation, if you like. that's now namely the president, the executive in the National Assembly, and also the interpretation of the law by the judiciary.
Yeah.
But then you have also communities who need other governing bodies near them or closer to them so that they can focus on issues that affect them on the grassroots level.
Yeah.
And that is when the regional councillors and the local councillors come in the picture. For that reason, if we care about our grassroots livelihood on a daily basis, water that you have mentioned, water on our taps, electricity at home, lights in our streets, roads, our economic development programs, community development programs on a local level, maybe primary schools, maybe health or clinics, or agricultural conservancy projects, then we must be worried as to who is that person who can understand these things in a way to liaise between us as grassroots people and the central government.
Yeah. So there could be listeners who might not be sure or not clear what the difference between the regional council elections and local authority elections. Could you briefly maybe explain just the main difference between the regional council elections and local authority elections?
The regional councils election and the local authorities elections are mandated by the Namibian Constitution. In other words, to say there will always be regional councils in addition to the region, to the central government. Namibia is divided into 14 regions.
Yeah.
And by the way, you must not forget that even if we are in 14 regions, we are not a federal state.
Yeah.
We are a unitary state. These 14 regions are nothing but extension of the central government. That
so
is why they are.
How different is that from a federal state?
A federal state means states have a bit of independence from each other, and in some ways they can pass laws on their own.
Yeah,
they are linked to the central to the federal office, if you like. But each of the states may have their own things or regions or something like that.
Yeah. Do we have a country like that in Africa?
I used to hear the Federal Republic of Nigeria, for instance.
Yeah,
that's why you have the states in Nigeria. You have the state of Kaduna, the state of what, the state of what. But they don't know how effective those things are.
Yeah.
The best example we can talk about in terms of federal is really the United States of America.
Yeah.
And in some ways, Germany is also a federal. And some other countries. But we are a Republican unitary state.
Yeah.
All the laws that are passed by our central government, in other words, by our National Assembly, all policies set by the executive, by the president, they affect all of us the same way.
Yeah.
We have no power in Karas region or Jabez region or Msat region or Kundene region to say, no, we don't subscribe to that.
Yeah.
In a federal state, you can subscribe to some things. You can also say in our state, we will make our own ruling or our own vote to see if we want that thing or we don't want it.
Okay. Now, Bishop, coming back to the regional council and local council. So I vote, if I vote in a regional council election, I'm voting for one person to represent my constituency. But in a local council election, I vote for a party list How might that different? How might that difference affect who ends up in power and who is accountable?
Yeah, so I was coming to the point of electing the regional councillors.
Yeah.
And it is different from the local authority councillors.
Okay.
Regional councillors, voters in each of the constituency.
Mm.
Okay? In each of the constituency. At the moment, we have about 120-something, maybe 121 constituencies.
Yeah, 121, I think, yeah. Mm.
And each of those constituencies must have one person from such community to become the regional councillor.
Yeah.
Voters in each of the constituency elect one person to represent them at the regional council.
Mm.
So the constituency councillor is the representative of these people at the regional council.
Yeah.
Now, I hope you know how we vote for the president.
Yeah.
In the Namibian context, the president is elected directly.
Yeah.
By the people. But candidates come through different means. Some may come through the party.
Mm.
Some may come through independent candidacy.
Yeah.
So if you want to be a president, you can belong to a party to, and you campaign within your party.
Mm.
So that the party can send you to be their candidate. Or you can ask several members in each of the regions to support your candidature,
yeah,
so that you become what we call independent candidate.
Yeah.
The same principle applies to the regional council. In the regional council, we don't vote for the party per se, just as we don't vote for the party per se in the presidency.
Mm.
We vote for a candidate, but the candidate must be fielded either by the party,
yeah,
or by the people in the constituency in the form of independent candidacy.
Mm.
And we vote for a person directly. The problem is we always want to say the person represents party A or party B or party C.
Yeah.
That is what undermines, I think, the process, that this is how it is always done.
Yeah.
Anyway, it undermines the process because you are no longer voting for the face of a person.
Yeah.
And what the person is able to do. Sometimes we look at the party that gave us this person, even if it's just a charlatan or something.
Mm.
You will vote for the party in any case.
Disregard, depending, it doesn't matter who the leader, who actually we're voting, yeah, is just, yeah, being, yeah, loyal to the party. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is how we do. In other words, that's a direct, if you like.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the local authority.
Before you go to local authority, in your opinion, how does that affect leadership quality when it comes now to original person who have been avoided? Have you throughout our election process, have you come to a point where you said there has been people that have been put forth by the parties, but they aren't qualities that we need in the region, for example? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is unavoidable.
Yeah.
The party will be cornered by its own loyalty, loyal people.
Yeah.
Loyalty policy, if you like. Because the party will have to choose between political correctness,
yeah,
and the technical know-how.
Mm-hmm.
Political correctness in the sense that as a party person, you need to maybe be a agitator.
Yeah.
You must be someone who is a good people's person. You must bring people to the rallies. You must defend the party. You must speak your mind.
Yeah.
And so if the party is now in a serious suffocation, mm-hmm, situation, because they have now the agitators,
yeah,
political agitators, they are not necessarily good leaders.
Yeah.
They are all, it also doesn't mean they are not good leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only saying sometimes it's not necessary that the loudest is the best.
Yeah.
Sometimes those who are on the background, those who are quiet, those who are unable to go out and agitate, they may turn out to be the best.
Yeah.
The problem is that the party now follows the majority and follows those who are visible and those who are agitators. And for that reason, political parties became the prey, falling prey to those who are looking only for salaries. It's no longer about selling the people. It's about those who are looking for salaries. And they have learned the trick. The only way to do that is to be supportive of anything that the party says. Don't stand in the road. Don't criticize it. Just swallow everything that the party gives you.
Yeah.
Then the party will say, this person is very rare.
And as voters, are we mature enough? Are we at the level now where we can actually vote depending on the quality of the leader, or we still just, you know, as loyal to our parties, no matter who is fielded?
In some ways, there are a pocket of resistance in Namibia.
Yeah.
In other words, there are people who resist to vote on the question of capacity, capability, and ability.
Yeah.
They are still voting with history in mind. And the history is that there was a time we needed release from war, from apartheid, from colonialism, from discrimination, and whoever contributed to the ending of that project, that person seems now to have a perpetual benefit.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. This is what people think.
Yeah.
They still think that we these are the people we know.
Mm.
This is the party I know. I don't want to learn new things.
Yeah.
I don't want to betray my conscience. I don't want to betray my people. Even if they are wrong, I will still vote for them. You see, I hope you understand what I mean.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're trying to say.
There are few cases where people vote with their minds and not with their emotions.
Yeah.
Because when you have to vote for your mind, you only look at the quality of the candidate. You don't look so much at the party.
Mm.
Because sometimes you may say, in this constituency, I'm a member of Party A, but my party gave us really a wrong person. It's a wrong choice.
Mm.
But Party B or independent candidate B present a better choice.
Yeah.
Let me, as part of my privilege to vote secretly, let me vote something different. And they keep quiet.
Yeah.
The reason why the votes are secret is for you to make a choice that is worth making.
Yeah.
Now, our people are scared. They still think like I used to.
There's a quick commercial coming up, and then we come back, Bishop. Yeah.
Great news. Inbet just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Inbet? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Inba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Inba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. So now, Bishop, let's come back now to the local council elections, where now I vote for a party list. How different is that?
Yeah, the regional council is composed by one person from each of the constituencies' name.
Yeah.
But the local councils, namely municipalities, town councils, village councils, those are composed of the local people.
Mm.
Local people who must either organize themselves into a political party or an organization or an association.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot come in as independent, as an individual or independent candidate.
Yeah.
By law, you can't do it because you need either 15 people maximum for a bigger municipality, or you need 5 people for a village council. You need a group of people.
Yeah.
And the group of people must now be elected through what is called proportional representation.
Mm.
It is now your party or your organization or your association that must sponsor people to become what? To become members of the council.
Yeah.
That is very different. Now, the difference is the political parties must give us, or associations, organizations must give us a number of people
mm.
whom they trust and whom they have vetted and whom they know that these people can deliver local authority issues.
Yeah.
And the local authority issues, as you have mentioned, are related to what? They are related to municipal services.
Mm-hmm.
Like now, water supply to the communities, servicing of the land, sewage issues, waste collection, electricity distribution, local safety and security policing, and so on, zoning of the homes, building yeah. permits, and so forth, and so on.
Mm.
So these people must be able to understand key areas. And not only understand, but able to practically implement
yeah.
these policies aimed at the things in the area of those I have mentioned.
Yeah.
And the honor is now on the political party
mm.
and on the associations, ratepayers, maybe associations or residents association, whatever it is.
Mm.
And these are the people who must serve as members of the local councils.
So,
unfortunately, just like regional councillors and the local councillors,
yeah.
political parties, independent candidates, associations, organizations, they don't give us the full picture of these people.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, they give us the names and the photos on the flyers, and that is all. We don't know where they come from, their background, what they know, what they don't know, any history, any experience on leadership issues. Most of the time, we don't have that time, and political parties are relaxed just to give us the face on the poster and the name.
Yeah. Shouldn't be this, especially when it comes now to local councils, shouldn't we actually know more about these people, because they are the one who will be dealing with now with issues that the community, you know, are struggling with? Because we need to know if they have an understanding, if they understand our own need, if they have the competence and the capacity to actually deliver.
I it's unfortunate that we don't know more of the people.
Yeah.
I can tell you that of all the names I have read so far, and of all the photos I have seen,
yeah.
because I have not seen their faces physically, I have only known a few people.
Mm.
And I'm a resident of Vendo West for regional councils.
Yeah.
And I'm a member of the local authority as a resident in Vendo. I am expected to vote for the regional councillor in Windhoek West.
Yeah.
And I'm expected to vote for the the local councillors for Windhoek municipality.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, of all the candidates that are there in the names appearing on the posters of many political parties, organizations, because I look.
Yeah,
I want to know who else is participating in Windhoek. I want to know these people.
Yeah,
I know few. Maybe I know 10% of all these people
mm.
by face, only by face. I yeah. don't know the history. I don't know if they are educated, if they are teachers, or they are nurses, or they are public estates, or they are administrative people. I have no knowledge. I'm going to vote for things and for people I don't know.
Yeah.
So
what implication does that have when it comes to service delivery?
Yeah, we take it for granted, and that is how we create banana state.
Yeah.
So when we are not telling these people as parties, as associations, as organizations, and say, my friends, we vote for you to become a local council. Please identify yourself with the community.
Yeah.
Who are you? You must make sure you have visited all the locations.
Yeah.
You have gone to the playgrounds. You have introduced yourself. You have given the flyers and so forth and so on, so that people know you. Have you ever distributed even a box of pencils to a particular school in your area?
Mm.
Just a box of pencils to a grade one or to a pre-grade or to something in your community.
Yeah.
What have you achieved before? You could do and deal with greater things. So we take it for granted. Some of these people have no knowledge of anything.
Yeah.
Some of them maybe were working here and there, but if you go to their track record, you will find that they cannot even keep their table in order.
Yeah.
But here come that they want to keep the municipality in order. It's a shame that we seem not to take things serious. I'm not saying we are not taking them for serious.
Yeah. Mm.
But I'm saying we seem not to be serious with these things. I think we could do better than what we are doing now.
Yeah. So in your view, are Namibians aware enough of the role the regional and local representatives are playing to be able now to make sure that we need the right people for to be able to deliver?
The Namibian people, in my own observation, I may be wrong. You can ask some other people to help you here.
Yeah.
I think are constitutional illiterate. A number of them.
Yeah.
We have many people who don't know what is the constitution.
Yeah.
And all the questions you are asking me are related to the constitution.
Yeah.
Do we understand the constitution? That gives us a demarcation between the three pillars of the government or of the central government or the state, if you like.
Mm.
And the three layers of the government itself.
Yeah.
The central, the regional, the local. How these things are different and how are they related to one another? If you ask an ordinary person in the village down in Okombahe or in Omdaungiro or in Epupa, in Arano somewhere, a person who's just doing his or her own business, going her work on a daily basis,
mm.
I will be surprised if these people know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they don't know. I'm only saying I will be surprised if they know everything. Why? When I do these constitutional talks on the radio, is when I find out that some people have no idea what is expected of the central government. That is why instead of pushing the central government to do the work, we celebrate them.
Yeah.
We celebrate even when they have failed. We celebrate them. Remember I said that independence Namibia had 1.5 maximum, I think, million people with independence. And 35 years later, Namibia is over 3 million people.
Yeah.
This population has doubled. And the majority of the people we have now, at least we have 1.5 million people who were born probably after independence.
Yeah.
How ready are we as a central government? How ready are we, say, regional governments, local councillors, civil societies, faith-based organizations? How ready are we to receive a growing population?
Mm.
I don't have a clear picture, including that of myself.
Yeah.
Although I have to plan and strategize myself from a faith-based organization, that, okay, our people are growing. The more we grow, the more we need more Bibles. We need more pastors.
Mm.
We need more church institutions so that our people are not left in the air, hanging in the air without religious expression.
Mm-hmm.
I still have that, but how effective is my thinking? I don't know. Now you tell me if there are, go to the central government, ask someone of those who are reading.
Yeah.
What strategies and what plans they have for the growing population, for the young population. Go to the regional councils and ask them. I used to hear, correct me if I'm wrong, Windhoek alone was designed for 100,000 people.
Yeah.
In the earliest stage of Windhoek, 100,000 people. By that time, we did not have 100,000.
Yeah.
They designed it in a way that it will grow to 100,000 people sometime later. That's why they have Central Hospital and what? And the Kafutira Hospital. It's public institutions. What values have we added to those institutions, for instance, now that we have about 400 and something thousand people, probably close to 500,000 living in Windhoek, still using Kafutira Hospital, still using Central Hospital?
Hmm.
Are we ready for a growing population? That has now to do with both the regional, central, and the local. Is there any coordination there?
Yeah. Now, given what you just said, in your experience now, what qualities make a truly effective leaders in a local government, and also how can voter judge candidates' leadership potential before giving them their vote?
What quality of leaders we need?
Yeah.
Well, it's a broad question, an open-ended question, in a way that we need leaders who are determined to match the dynamics, the demographic dynamics with the intervention, practical materials or things.
Yeah.
You now have the lack of people in the settlements. How are you going to make sure that they have necessary services? They have roads, they have schools, they have clinics or hospitals. In other words, access to quality healthcare, access to quality education. If there is a leader who can understand those things in the local setup, in the regional setup, and then advocate, be a strong advocate for these people at the central government, and say, my dear people, in my constituency, we have 1, 2, 3, 4. And this is the need, and until this need is addressed, our people are not going to be 1, 2, 3. They are not going to be where they should be. In the local authority, we need government intervention in terms of the roads. We need the money. Cabinet must approve. We need the money. We need to build the road. We need a school. We need a clinic. We need nurses. We need doctors. We need teachers. We need all kinds of services and advocate for the people. For me, the quality is really a person who understands the need of the people and a person who can articulate so eloquently, so forcefully, so legally, so morally, advocate for his or her own people in the locality, including now ethical leadership, being able to lead from the front, moral leadership, good governance, free of corruption, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And we must make a difference between the benefits that come with such responsibility, which responsibility itself. I know that most of the time, if you are a regional counselor, the salary is going to be better than when you were a teacher.
Yeah.
When you are, and you are already thinking, I'm going to buy my car, I'm going to do this, my children are going to go to the best school, I will be able to pay for the university. All these type of things is what the person is already thinking, rather than thinking of how best can I help my people.
Yeah.
It's very unfortunate that the reality is that there will be benefits And that is why they fight. Yeah. That's why sometimes I say the party will be cornered to say, okay, let us take this person because people want this person. Otherwise, if we don't take this person, people will start moving away.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, from the candidates that you have seen on a pamphlet and posters.
Whose photos I have seen?
Those photos that you have seen. Now, well, have you heard, or maybe do you know some of them in terms of their experience, the vision of this candidate? In this candidate, do you think, do they have the vision that would drive the regional economic changes that we really need?
I have read one full resume.
Yeah.
Of a candidate who is not in the window. Is in the Hardap region. And this person for me has tabulated of what she was coming from. She tabulated of what she was able to achieve and why she thinks her past experience when met with the present realities of being a counselor and the needs of the people, she thinks she can do the work.
Yeah.
Because for us, it is not for me to say they can do the work. They must prove us,
yeah,
either right or wrong, to say this is who I am. Politically, they are free to speak out of their mind and say this is who I am. I am the only person here in this constituency with experience in 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
And remember, the constituencies and local authorities are not the same. You have a constituency like Okongo, for instance.
Yeah.
Okongo is deeply rural. Okongo, Nyakarega, Mpingana, Gwinas, all these constituencies are deeply, deeply rural. They are in the forests there. What type of a councillor is needed there?
Mm.
What type of economic programs are needed there? It's not the same as Oshakati East or Oshakati West, for instance, where it is semi-urban or just urban.
Yeah.
Not the property urban. So, and it's also, Sakat is also different from Katutura Center or Windhoek West or Windhoek East.
Yeah.
It's not the same. So what type of people you need to put in different constituencies to drive the economic programs?
Mm.
You see, this is where the problem I think we are facing because leadership qualities are not coming forth visibly, and the people are not coming out of the closet and say, good morning, my name is 1, 2, 3. I want to be a counselor because 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong to say that. Politically, very correct to do that.
Yeah.
But people are not even claiming credit. Imagine you, Mike, if you could one day stand up. You have to tell us.
Yeah.
I am Mike who was 1, 2, 3. I was in the church. I was there. Tell us where you are coming from. How do I know you were in the church?
Yeah.
Mm. How do I know you were in business one day? How do I know you are a writer? How do I know you are a technical person in maybe community affairs? How do I know you are a civil society person?
Mm.
Let me know you, because I don't know you. It will be a privilege if I know you personally. There is one counselor I know personally.
Shouldn't this come from either ECN or the party itself? Because we kind of like need, we are, you know, denied that kind of information even when it comes to election. We don't know much about the people that we are voting. So shouldn't that have come maybe from within the ECN rules and criterias, or from the party themselves?
At the moment, the electoral law does not make a provision for ECN to do that.
Mm.
ECN only do what is required by law.
Yeah.
And the political parties also, I think, in their own constitutions and policies, have no clear policies of who should be elected. Yeah. Rather than saying you must be a party member, you must have a paid up, you must be loyal, you must be equity, without a proper description as to what else the party must do. So the parties also are just following the constitution. If you end up just demanding things that are not in the constitution of your party, the very same people will take you to task.
Yeah, yeah.
So perhaps we need the reformation of the electoral law so that as part of its requirement, the candidates must be able to 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. Other than just being voters, residents in that constituency, and they must be not of this age, or they must not be criminally charged for the past 10 years or things like that.
Yeah.
And now I think the political parties too need to reform their constitutions. Other than that, it is the community who should judge these people. And sometimes say, no, we don't want any of these people because they don't tell us where they come from.
Yeah.
So we must not vote for them.
Yeah.
And maybe there must be a way to say at the ballot box, there must be there must be an opportunity to say, we don't know these people.
Yeah.
It would have made sense if there is really a no.
Exactly.
We don't know them.
Yeah.
And all of them, we must not vote for them.
Yeah.
Please give us the other candidates.
That
only then these people will do some good work.
Yeah. Now let's come to the youth. Many young people say politics, it doesn't change anything. You hear that? Ah, politics doesn't change anything. How would you respond to that in the context of these elections?
No, politics does change things. Politics change things, only that sometimes it changes things for worse. it changes things for worse because it improves the quality and the life of individual few.
Yeah.
If you are elected as a councillor, lucky you are, because there will be privileges, there will be benefits that come with that. And on that level, you can't tell a person who was elected the councillor with a privilege, with a car, with the housing, with medical aid, and so on. You can't say this person, you can't say politics doesn't change things to that particular person. They will say, no, politics changes things.
Yeah.
Because the change is immediate for them.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but for a person, an ordinary person who is not, who doesn't know, in terms of broader sense of how politics affect people in a broader sense, they will say, it doesn't affect me because I'm still unemployed. I'm a qualified teacher, I'm a qualified nurse, I'm a qualified what, I'm a social worker.
Mm.
And I don't have a job. So what is politics doing? There are people who are frustrated by inability of the government to take care of the young graduates, for instance.
Yeah.
And for me, this is a failure of planning, and this is a failure of resource management in a way that how can we take care of a growing population? That is always my question.
Mm.
How can we take care of a growing population? We seem not to have prepared for this.
Yeah.
That is why, up to now, the government, for me, has not demonstrated any tangible practical steps to reduce this unemployed graduate in our streets.
And then what do we have in our development plans and visions? Shouldn't those be the guidelines of where we should be and what we should be doing?
Obviously, these are the things that should have. But if you go to those development plans, do they really speak to the ordinary people?
Yeah.
Those development plans, have they come from the village, from a woman sitting under a marura tree?
What
must we do, Meme?
Yeah.
What must we do, Tate, tending his cattle in Oshana? And this person must be able to say, oh, you are coming from the government. Oh, you are doing some research of what are the needs in the community. In our communities, as I did, I travel how many kilometers to the clinic? I travel how many kilometers to attend my children's parents' meeting at school.
Yeah.
I travel how many kilometers to reach a grocery shop. I use the sand tracks, or I use the gravel road, or I use the tar road. How many times have you been thrown the blood to test your blood, I mean your blood sugar, your prostatic specific antigen, your cholesterol? How many of you, who examine your teeth? Who examine your ears? Who looks in your eyes if they are still working? Who determines you need glasses and so on? Mm. We don't have that.
Yeah.
Clearly, we don't have that. And these people, for me, are failing in small matters.
Yeah.
Namibia is a country that was blessed. Blessed in the way that our people work in the land. We have when rain is abundant, we don't need drought relief distribution.
Yeah.
When rain is abundant, we have a lot of water. We have a lot of food at the villages, especially in the Zambezi, in the Kavango, in the north of Ambulance, now formerly, and then Kaukola, and then sometimes in Omaheke too. We do work the land on our own. The government could only subsidize, make sure there are tractors, make sure we harvest water, make sure there are seeds, make sure that there are incentives for people to work even harder.
Yeah.
So that at the end of the day, people have enough food and we concentrate on other things.
Yeah.
Now, when I see, just one moment, when I see the minister opening a clinic at a particular village, I am in between. I am impressed, I am not impressed. Because I'm impressed there is a facility, okay? But I'm not impressed if the content there in that facility does not speak to the people.
Yeah.
If people are still having strokes, because nobody is saying, Vakwetu, teach people they must have a blood pressure machine at home.
Yeah.
Tell them to always consult a doctor when there is something. There must be medicine. The scheduled medicine must be somewhere. Doctors must be at the clinics, and they must be inspired to work and serve the people. You see, now young people are saying, I cannot be a doctor and be at the clinic. I have to be at the big hospital.
Yeah.
Why meet at the clinic? Go there with your scheduled medicine and do minor things. Have a little surgery room where you can stitch the wounds, you can clean up wounds, you can do things, and people don't have to go to the district hospital, for instance.
Yeah.
The problem is that service delivery on small things is not happening. Opening a clinic is something else, but the content in the clinic is what I'm worried about. I'm a nurse myself.
Yeah.
Those are just illustrations again.
So now, the other thing is also looking at the responsibility of maybe civic groups and churches as well. So now, when it's kind of like getting back to our to election that is taking place tomorrow, what role can civic groups and churches play in encouraging informed participation actually in the local elections?
You know, we have a wounded history. We have a wounded history in a sense that the civil society, faith-based organizations, were never empowered to confront the elephant in the room right from independence. Those who dared from the civil society and the faith-based organization to speak up to power.
Yeah.
They were asked some pertinent questions. Who are you? Where were you? We are speaking on behalf of who? Are you reactionaries? So these people made sure that all of the civil society people were cowed. Have you heard of the failures? Those who have failed, the failures.
Yeah.
They ran to civil society. And people became so small, they felt insignificant, except those who were very brave to continue even when it was not fashionable to do.
Yeah.
Only with the time that this thing faded away, you are no longer hearing questions of where were you? they are still appearing, not very directly.
Yeah.
Only now in the past few years, probably, maybe the past 10 years, that you really were able to discern the voice of the civil society.
Mm.
But now, the civil society were unable to groom people for civic participation.
Yeah.
Because it was always a question of fear that you may be labeled as a reactionary, as acting on behalf of imperialist forces behind you,
yeah,
and so forth and so on. So civil society went in hibernation, disarray,
yeah,
no coordination, to the point of being irrelevant. The church is worse. The faith-based organization from the Christian point of view is worse. They can't come together. They can't speak with one voice. I remember there was a time I was in CCN.
Yeah.
And when they brought up some controversial matters, it was the bishops who were scared. We have to be careful. Some of these things, they are just coming from the media. Maybe they are not true. We have to be careful. We cannot say these things. Even if you write up a statement strong, they will say, no. The statement is too strong. We need to change it.
Where's the prophetic voice?
I lost my trust in CCN leadership, in the Namibian church's leadership that was at that time, because for me they were self-censored, self-restrained, self-fear,
yeah.
and so on. And they didn't understand the voice they could pose for the morality of our society.
Mm.
It's not for the. It's not to destroy our society, but to build the society.
Yeah.
So now they can't even come together anymore. But there are pockets of changes.
Yeah.
There are still some good pastors, some good priests, bishops, deacons, who are doing good works in their little corners. But unfortunately, you media are also not just showing them.
Yeah. We're not exposing them. Yeah.
You are not exposing them. You are just saying they are not doing anything, but there are those who are doing.
Yeah.
Better than those who are being exposed.
Yeah. Now, let's look at the turnout. The voter turnout for local election is often low. And why is it important that people go out and vote at the local and regional level?
Yeah, if you go through the analysis of election results of all this year,
yeah,
and in 2020, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not at on my document now.
Yeah,
local authority and regional elections was very low. The turnout was very low.
It was low, yeah.
Because some more time it was less than 40.
Yeah.
In terms of all the voters, only 38 point something who went to take part in the vote.
Yeah.
And for me, that defeats the purpose of election. If we have only a few people who are giving us leaders, then I don't know why election exists.
Yeah.
Perhaps we should say if the turnout is less than 50, we cannot count that election as legitimate.
Mm.
So there must be somewhere, somehow in the law. At the moment, the law doesn't say anything. It's very quiet that even if two people show up,
yeah,
or three people show up and they vote for a councillor, then that is what that person will be, the councillor.
Hmm.
And for me, that is unfair. Let us make sure
Because the large population is not represented in the vote.
Yeah. Hmm. Not voting can be a voice, can be a vote.
Yeah, yeah.
Non-voting can be a vote. Why are the people not voting? Maybe they are dissatisfied, they are disengaged.
Yeah. Mm.
But it's just like you have a parliament where you have members who are disengaged.
Mm.
They are not participating, they are not voting, we don't see them. Some of them, ever we read their names is all. Since their names were pronounced as members, it's because when people are disengaged, they show dissatisfaction.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes. But we have no reason, my dear Namibians, not to go out there and vote, even for a ghost. If you think things are not going the way you want, vote for anything. That is there.
Yeah.
Vote for change. Maybe things will change.
Yeah.
Vote for something. I'm not saying changing parties or something. I'm just vote for anything.
Yeah.
Go there and vote. Don't stay at home.
Mm.
Staying at home, you are betraying your civic duties. You are betraying the responsibilities. You are betraying our safety. You are betraying our security. Staying at home and allow demagogues and charlatans to lead us doesn't make good sense to me.
Yeah. And from your perspective, what can we learn from past local elections to improve maybe outcome in 2025?
For me, I care very much less of who is in charge.
Yeah.
In terms of political parties and organizations, I care very much if these persons don't know what they are doing.
Mm.
Whether they were sent by Angel A or Angel B,
yeah.
And they are unable to to deliver, I will be worried.
Yeah.
So what we need is people who can do the work. Whether they are from coalitions, they are what you see. You look at the city of Windhoek now.
Mm.
Not only city of Windhoek, all other municipalities and town councils. They have a combination of various political parties and organizations represented in the council. But they are still fighting for who should be the mayor.
Mm.
Look at now what they are doing. You hear that here Swapo is saying, yeah, you see, it is now the opposition who are in majority. Look at how Windhoek is.
Yeah.
The opposition is saying, okay, look at what Swapo is doing. It's not working with the opposition. That is why they are sabotaging. Yeah, Wolfe's Bay, the case was there.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of debates. The point is, we don't care who is in the council.
Yeah.
If the people of Namibia decided that Swapo must have three people, IPC three people, PDM three people, whoever two people, the other one people, that is the council. We are no longer interested who is from which party.
Yeah.
What we want now is the service delivery, coordinate, work together, because this is what the Namibian people have decided. And we must all abide by what people have decided. Because constitutionally means what? Who is the sovereign? It's the people of Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
And if they give you three members from that group, from that group, from that group, you honor what the people have decided and simply do the work.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they can't do the work together. Are they not residents of Windhoek? Are they not Namibians? Don't they speak the same language? It might be English. And if they don't speak the same language, why don't they have a translator? There is no reason to quarrel. There is only a reason to work harder, because this is what people have decided.
Mm-hmm.
So there must be a working together. There will always be a coalition. These are some of the changes that come naturally.
Yeah.
You see?
Now, looking at Namibia today now, what do you think are the... Let me just say three most pressing issues local leaders must tackle immediately after being elected.
Local leaders in each of the local authorities, they must be concerned about the housing in urban areas. If you are in the village council, in the local council, the priority must go to housing.
Mm.
The priority must go to health and sanitation.
Yeah.
The priority must go to safety and security around our townships, around our locations, around our riverbeds. There must be safety in all our communities, in my view. Then consult education to be closer to the people, so that children don't have to walk long distances. The number of people are still walking distances to go to a school. A child needs to be in the school and they have to walk there. There are not many people who are privileged to take their children to school with cars.
Yeah.
In the locations, people are still walking a distance, and you go above the hill, you go in the riverbed, you go to the hill to reach the school. So we need as many community schools as possible, so that our kids are not exposed to these criminals who are just roaming around the riverbeds.
Yeah.
So housing, health, sanitation, safety and security for me in each of our town councils or municipalities or village councils, those must be the priority.
Mm.
Otherwise, why do we exist?
Yeah. So before I let you go, also, when local council fail to deliver, you know, what option do citizens have to demand better performance?
This is where the civil society needed to come in.
Mm.
In between the elections, civil society must be able to observe, is the city doing its work?
Yeah.
Is the council doing its work? City council or municipal council or town council or village council, are they doing their work? By observing, by seeing things, by being on the ground as a civil society.
Yeah.
You can now say, my friends, I was in Ochomwite the other day, and this is what I have seen. You take photos and so on, you write the council to say, what are we doing here? Advocating for the people. And other than that, it is now the political parties and organizations to also just hold their people accountable.
Yeah.
Colleagues, we send you to the town council to do 1, 2, 3, 4. And you have not done so. Why? Now, listen very carefully here. We have, for better or for worse, we like it or we don't like it, we have inherited the system in the city of Windhoek.
Yeah.
I have to say.
All right. That's Paratus, 60 minutes, and then probably that's, you know, end because it was an hour. All right. We're going to get this Bishop to conclude, and then we allow you to come through as well. So stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, we have the Bishop. Bishop, can we hear you?
You can hear me now, I think.
Okay. All right. So
I am finishing up my statement to say,
yeah,
there seems to be in all our town councils, municipalities, and village councils. Maybe village councils is better, but in the councils that we have inherited from apartheid era, there seem to be either a system or we are simply unable to assist ordinary people, poor people, to have access to the land and housing. But those who were previously advantaged, unfortunately, as I say, they have to say it brutally, they rarely struggle to get a portion of land.
Yeah.
Why is it like that? Maybe we need an academic to study it, to research why the previously advantaged people are still advantaged in terms of acquiring land and housing. Mm-hmm. Very easy.
Yeah.
For them to get a land in Kleine Coupe or anywhere. But an ordinary person in the informal location who apply for a land, it will take ages before you get it.
Yeah.
Why is it like that? It is either a sabotage or there was a system created in a way that an ordinary black person will suffer. They must go back to their rural communities, and they must not have access land in urban centers. Very unfortunate.
All right.
Very unfortunate. And what the people can do, as you said in your previous question, you wait for the elections,
yeah.
You start discussing again, and if you have to change these people, change them.
Mm.
Unfortunately, but I'm also not so sure if change is the solution. Yeah. I'm only saying what is left for the people is change, but change is not always the solution, because we have changed from apartheid to independent, but where is the solution?
Yeah. So, and finally, Bishop, do you have any last thoughts or message for Namibians that as they head to the polls for the local and regional election tomorrow?
For the ordinary person at the homes listening to me and you having this conversation, I will only say it is our constitutional obligation as the sovereigns of the Namibian people to go there and pick the team to serve us. As much as this is very difficult to pick, we have to do it for the sake of the future and for the sake of Namibian youth. For those of you who are vying for positions at the regional level, at the local level, please understand that the only obligation you have is to serve the Namibian people.
Mm.
In the area of socio-economic development, housing issues, health issues, sanitation issues, food issues, and those of us in urban centers, in industries, to make sure that our people are have access to those amenities that are needed for survival and for economic growth, so that each and every person in Namibia must have money to catch a cab, must have money to buy bread, must have money to buy basic needs at home. Nobody in Namibia must not have money, because it is money that makes people walk in the modern day era.
Yeah. So, Bishop Katenda, thank you for helping us unpack the nuts and bolts of our upcoming regional and local authority elections. You have reminded us that these elections are not just about politics; they are about water in our taps, jobs in our towns, and hope for our communities. And thank you for making time to talk to us this morning.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, that was Bishop Lucas Kalawapa Katenda, talking to us about the elections that we are facing tomorrow. So helping us to understand the difference between local authority, regional and local authority elections. So now you're welcome to come through, have your own say. What is your reaction? What is your comments? What is your opinion?
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Morning, Matt. How are
you? I'm fine, and yourself?
Good.
Yeah.
I don't know where to really begin, honestly speaking. Because maybe Mr. Katenda can just hold the portfolio of a politician.
Mm.
So he can also combine his religious work with that, maybe also incorporating his sermon into what he's doing currently. Because sometimes it becomes very confusing to me whether he's a politician or a bishop, but I have no problem if they can. Those roles can be done at the same time, simultaneously. Yes, on the issue of civil society, it's a good thing, or faith-based or non-governmental organizations, those are in one category. And I'm ready also to follow events in South Africa or even in Namibia here, what the work that they have been doing.
Yeah.
But my worry is that they are the most vulnerable. I don't know whether it's because of their position to be infrustrated by those who are working, maybe agitators. Let me use the word that you use. The agitators, those who are actually there to perhaps derail the government's plans and the peace-loving people's wish in terms of social economic development. Because when you look at this civil society, just say, like in Namibia and many other countries, I mean, not in Namibia, I mean in South Africa, we have seen that these are the people who were actually, they were subsidized by the government. Okay, of course. And they are operating within the legal framework of the country. But at the same time, they are the ones who are allegedly facilitating the capture, the state capture in South Africa.
Uncle Bona, you're surprising me now. Seriously, we are facing election tomorrow, and you know there are so many pressing issues in local councils and also in local communities. And I'm not saying don't focus on that specific thing. It's really there is no something where we can even maybe looking at that when you go and vote. You know, think of the leader in your communities that would improve your situation. Seriously.
This is what I'm talking about. Is that the same thing? So for you to know the profile, the candidate. So why can't you, because Bishop Katenda mentioned that he only know one counselor's profile. The one in within his own vicinity, he does not know, he's not aware of their profile, what they can deliver, what they can do, whether they are fit enough in terms of their qualities or qualification, whatever the case might be. My question, I was now worried, does he go to both the political rally to, because they are always there, does he go there or he doesn't just go because he's a bishop?
Are you questioning the bishop yourself, or are you questioning the issues that he's talking about? But I'd rather focus on the issues rather than on the bishop himself. Because you're asking, does he go to the rallies? Talk about the issue. What is the issue? The issue here, like now, the discussion that you should listen to. Hold it. Listen to me. I don't want you to ruffle around. So the issues that you'll be talking about is now, do our local people know the profile of most of them? Do they know the profile of the candidates?
Yes, it's the same thing. He said even himself, the community do not know. He himself also doesn't know.
Exactly.
But the community, where those platforms take place, they know. Maybe you just need to sensitize them and motivate them on their obligation. So to say, yes, you are here, this is what we are expecting from you as a collective society within that constituency, for example. And you know, because I'm just saying on this thing, because he says he does not know, even the one in the Window Quest and all these other ones, except the one that he mentioned. Is that not the same language that we are speaking? Am I focusing on him?
No. You were questioning about him, the person, as a person, not on the issue.
Because he's the one who has brought the point that we are talking about.
But don't question the point. The person questioned the point. That's what I'm asking you to do.
The point. Did he question the point? He questioned that he doesn't know the counselor. And it's because he doesn't attend those rallies. So you could also see their profile on the Marumbulas or wherever.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Let's say, for example, PDM, okay, feed the person to become a counselor, okay? Do you know them?
So if I go to their constituency where they are campaigning and they are holding...
No, I'm asking you, do you know them? If you now see a person fielded by PDM, do you know them?
Why can't you know them if you are interested in knowing their manifesto?
Because there's no profile of that person. That's what he's talking about. That they, sometimes there are no profile of the people that are actually fed by the political parties.
So how can they not be having a profile? Because those are from the constituency.
So where do
that's
you...
That's not a true thing.
Do you have a profile? I'm asking you, do you have a profile of that person now communicated to the people?
Yeah, I do attend their political party. So I see what they are talking about. If you want to know their profile, you can also get into their personal profile and don't hear the quality.
It's not available. That's the point that they're making.
Then say it's not available.
So what is your point now? What is the point that they're trying to make?
Yeah. My point is that I mentioned about the civil society, knowing the councillors, and all those leaders from the constituencies, because in the constituencies they have got this structure up to the from the constituency up to the regional council. They have their their structure and their profiles are there. If you cannot see them on the Marungula, where else do you want to see their profile? Research about them, and not their profile.
Okay,
so the sentiment, of course, you can reject them at a ballot box. But within the community, if you say you reject them within the community, you know what that means to me? That rejection is something that people also... you can also equate it to this is a no-go area. Reject them. And this might also fuel some kind of, because I've heard many people fighting those communities. No, we are rejecting them here within our community. But reject them with the, at the voting box, that's what I understand. I don't know what he meant by rejecting them in the community. Maybe you can also come and clarify and answer that. Thank you.
All right.
A very good morning to you. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So... we must learn to focus on issues. You know, what is the issues the people, the person is actually highlighting? You know, yes, we'll come back after this.
Imbaya rile ombwa nai epetwa weather ko ombuni kiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irile ombupu o hatane na wina ikare no mafa ko murungu wa indu. Weli rongere kusha umune ondengu okuura ko imba. Una ovyu nevya peke ko rondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe umwe. So, kwika ovingi no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. Olo peresente dano komyeze vitatu moshimariva. Olo peresente umurongo komyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Olo peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Media Murongo na Vivari Moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu tima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashiesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishu hina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno owe uhaka enina. Itako na wina rishangika jinon.
No matter where you...
All right, we missed that one. All right, good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So we are unpacking the upcoming, regional and local authority elections that is coming tomorrow. So, I was just saying, sometimes we can get, something mentioned can rub bad, on the wrong side of you or can create some emotions or something. But we need to learn to focus on issues, you know, discuss issues rather than actually discuss persons, you know, and sometimes we don't make that distinction, you know. Let's put issue there. Let's play the ball, you know, not individuals. All right. 0833-66, you were knocking on the door. 0833-66-091. So, yeah. So what is your take? What is your reaction, maybe to our discussion and basically generally to the regional and local authority, election that's coming up tomorrow? Are you ready to vote? Do you see changes in your, how do you want the changes to happen? How do you want the change? What do you want different this time? And these are the things that we should be talking about rather than focusing on certain things. So how do you want changes this time? What kind of a quality of leadership that you're looking for? Do you have that in the representations of political party that you have or independent candidates? So do you believe this, whoever is a representation, would actually bring the changes that you want? Is this the people that you want to lead your local towns and regions? So, yeah, and many other things that we touched on. So are you going to vote for that matter? So 0833-66-091, 0833-66-091. So yeah, do come through and have your say. Yeah.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
All right, and very good morning to you. Welcome to Eagle FM, and this is Unpacking the Day, coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Bon dia, familia.
Bon dia. Como está?
Muito problema.
Muito. Muito problema.
Yeah, tô a vendo. Yeah. You ask a good question. What are we going to vote tomorrow?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and what do we expect? What we want?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but really, we really enjoying this coalition?
Mm.
No. Nobody's enjoying it.
Yeah.
So now, it's up to us now to vote right.
Exactly.
The leadership, to me, looks better, getting better. It's getting better every day.
Mm.
We only need really to clean up this mess we have in municipality. This is the mess we have, and nobody's enjoying this kind of thing. What we want houses, we want electricity,
But the mess, is the mess not a reflection of the quality of leadership, of the competence of leadership?
I know. You know, who's benefiting from that mess?
Eh?
Who's benefiting from that thing? Like you had, like, maybe is the land was been created to the poor, is having the houses there?
Mm.
No, nobody's benefiting from, it's only them benefiting, flying around and enjoying the boat of that journey.
Yeah.
And what about the poor? we who are always crying they need the houses, they need electricity. But I never even see a location which have been created or to say so by this kind of environment.
Mm.
No, so really we are, if you go like this, we're gonna suffer. We need really now you know when I remember some years back when we go to municipality, right, like today, if you go there,
yeah,
they, you want to have a right answer because of that this kind of coalition. But on the years back, the on the system of the meme Fasuna Kahungu, things are getting not better, but at least you can see things are getting coming up. But now, my brother, if you go there, you just come up. They will never even tell you the right what we want to hear from them. They will tell you no, don't know why. There's no money. I don't know what. We have money.
Yeah.
What kind of them? We have money. We just need a good system and a good leadership for us to have this to get a better life.
There's a question, you know, that the bishop actually mentioned about: are we really prepared in terms of the growth? Are we our plans are they adjacent? Are they in parallel with the growth of the growth of the populations? You know, like the, a lot of immigration to Windhoek. The Windhoek was just supposed to cater for about maybe 100,000 people. Now with the about 600,000. So are we moving at that pace? And that's sometime we found ourselves in those problems.
Yeah, the system need to change. To change because the population is growing now.
Yeah.
Now you might find what had the most is like, you, for example, you live in, ghettos, not Kuliangava, but even Kuliangava or even Umbini. But the development is going to Babylon. You go there, you find poles being put there. And how did you jump from here to go that side? So you forget about these people.
Yeah.
And those kind of things is the things which are hitting the nation. Say, no, man, they don't see us. We are here first, but it's like a four-way stop. You come from behind me, I'm in front of you, but you overtake and go.
But maybe looking at in a way that you are closer to a service, so we need to go far away where they are very far from the service. That's
no, there's no service. How do you have a service when you want to use the toilet, you go to queue like you are buying a bread? Is that the service we want? You have a guest sometime coming from this rich area, come to... Yes, to have a day with you. You'd be scared to see this guy here, the running stomach. I don't know where I would put him. You know, it's totally embarrassing. We need like this kind of a movement, which I will also go with the people. People, they need houses. People, they need the clean water. People, they need the shelter. People, they need to breathe. Now, the more you let them to be on that environment, is the more you are creating more criminality in the system. Because those kids, they'll be criminal because they are always fighting, they're always drinking, they always, you know, there's no way, you know, behind is like a the front of your house. Behind my house, is like the front of your house.
Yeah.
Now how do you look in this kind of environment? And because of this coalitions, we need to vote for the development. Not voting because I love this guy. I want to vote for development because I'm tired of living on this kind of guy. Our country is so small, very small, but the way we are living in this things is unbelievable. No electricity, no water, but we are preaching the same thing every day. Now is the time now for us to change.
Yeah.
We need to vote for the right system to say, okay, Let me try to this system. Maybe things are gonna get better because we already tried the coalition. Oh, not working.
Yeah.
Then let us move for that from that system.
So that's all depend on our vote. Yeah. So
yes, if you now for example you don't want to participate in voting. You must just stand up and go and vote.
But there's also people who are questioning: does the vote always bring changes because we have been voting. There are those who said we have been voting, and then we don't see changes at all.
No, now you can see this. The problem is the leadership. When the leadership not polishing his shoes very well, things won't go well. But if the leadership, the top leadership, is doing well, you just need for us here to clean up this mess. Then from there we follow the system, which we can see clarity on that leadership. We have this hope to say, maybe this person can even bring something tomorrow. If you give her this time, give her a chance for us for her to vote for her. And it's like now there's people who don't want to go and vote. My brother, you are betraying yourself if you don't vote today or tomorrow. You don't vote tomorrow, you are betraying yourself and never come here and complain on the radio or whatever. Just keep quiet because you don't belong to this country.
Yeah.
Just go and vote for the change.
All right.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you for coming through.
All right.
Yes, tomorrow is the 26th. Mark that day. Tomorrow is a public holiday. There's no excuses at all for you not to go and vote. So make sure that your voting card is ready. Go and look for it, you know, wherever you hit it. Yeah, so it's a public holiday. You make sure that you go as early as possible, very early, so that we don't create those problems, congestions, and, you know, maybe the machines now, they overloaded, they've become overloaded, they heat it up because we're coming at all at once at this. Nah, let's space out. Some people go in the morning, you know, so that we don't get crowded, in the evening. And then it takes us, you know, another day thinking of, okay, can we add another day? Because there are those who still haven't, you know, voted and all that. Let's do the right thing as citizens as well, as voters as well. All right. So make sure that you are at the polls early and vote as early as possible so that, you know, come the time, everybody has voted already. All right. So there's so much that we discuss on this. So what is your reaction? What is your mind? What are you thinking of some of the things that we talked about? Or your general understanding or your general view or perspective on regional and local authority elections. So you're most welcome to come through and air your view. 081-0833-66091. 083-33-66091. All right. Okay, and maybe you actually preparing yourself for election tomorrow. That's why what actually you're doing anyway. So you have already the card, you have a voting card. So what are you preparing psychologically? All right. So 083-33-66091. You are most welcome to come through and have your say. So still have about how many minutes? We still have about 15 minutes before we come to the end of the show this morning. Maybe we can go to the second story that I have for you. I can't keep waiting for you to come through and you're not coming. So yeah, let me move on. Yeah. So, all right. Now the other story that we have, is a new report by the Namibia Investment Promotion and Development Board, the NIPDB, which warns that our country is producing too many graduates in the field where jobs barely exist. So we're producing too many graduates in fields where jobs barely exist. And while industry like engineering, manufacturing, agriculture, technology, they are starving. They are starving for skilled people. So, yeah, and it's a big one. It's actually a big one because in real life, now when you think about that, in real life, it's affecting jobs. The reason why we have, you know, higher youth unemployment because they are a lot of them saturated in one field, you know. As I said, in real life, it's affecting jobs. It also would affect the economy. And our future direction as a country. So the Vision 2030 and NDP 6. So it's affecting that. So now let's look at what the report have said, and maybe dissect some of the point coming out of the report. Now, but let's have a context, okay? So that we build on some context, you know, bring it into a context so that we understand what we're talking about. Over the past years, Namibia education system has really expanded. It has expanded the access to universities and colleges, you know. There was a mushrooming of colleges left and right. You know, more young people are finishing with degrees than ever before. Yeah. And that's good. Education is a key pillar, as we said. It's a key pillar in Vision 2030 and also in NDP 6. So it's the key pillar. Now, but here is the issue. Here is the issue. Now, most of those degrees are subject like business management, public administration, teaching, and social services, and many others. So these areas are important. Okay, let's be clear. So they are important. We need managers. We need administrators. We need teachers. We need social workers. Yeah, we need all these people. But they are not generating enough private sector jobs. All right? So this field is not generating enough private sector jobs. And for the public sector, so there's only so much room. In a public sector, there's only so much rooms. You know. Now, meanwhile, the sectors that drive economic transformation, the sectors those that are driving the economic transformation, in the National Developing Plan. So we're talking about agriculture processing, talking about transport hubs or centers, we're talking about renewable energy, we're talking about mining engineering, we're talking about advanced manufacturing, you know. So those areas that are now the drivers of our economic transformation are short of qualified workers. They're really short of qualified workers, according to the report. Okay? This is not me who's saying it. So according to the report. And why? One, there are two things, but there are other things as well that we're going to look at if we have time. So because now fewer students are entering technical science. I mean, because there are fewer students that are entering technical science and engineering fields. There are not many students who are actually entering in the field. Now, part of the reason also is that only about half of our youth finish secondary school. And on top of that, fewer still actually qualify for science and math heavy courses, you know? So half half of the youth actually finish secondary school, and out of those who have finished, only actually few qualify for science and math. So that it's the problem. So then what is driving really this mismatch that we talk about? But honestly, The mismatch is not just a bad luck. It's not something, okay, we are just bad luck about. No, it's a result of a planning gap. I think it's a result of a planning gap. You know, one that also have mentioned in the report is the outdated job classification. So the occupation list that help government now, that help government recognize and regulate profession, hasn't been updated. It hasn't been updated since 2004. Since 2004. And remember, in 2004, if you have now to see that there's certain profession are not on that list then, in 2004, there was almost no smartphone app. There was no smartphone app developers in Namibia. In 2004, there were no smartphone app developers in Namibia. There were no formal recognition for solar technician, for example. Okay? So by 2004, there were no formal recognition for solar technicians or wind energy engineer. Okay? There were not by 2004. Now, the problem is if your job doesn't exist on paper, remember, it's not updated. That paper is not updated. You can't be formally trained or licensed for it. In our system. In our system, you cannot formally trained or licensed for it. And that's direct policy gap. It's a policy gap. Because we actually failed to update that policy. It's not just an administrative issue. It blocks entire industry from growing. It does block the whole entire industry from growing. Now, the other thing, so when we said what drives the mismatch, as we said, is the outdated job classification. There is also a weak link between education and industry. This is according to the report. So our National Human Resource Development Plan talks about aligning skills training with labor market needs. Okay? But in practice, university design curriculum mostly in isolation. Eh? And on the other side, the industry rarely communicates its future needs in a systematic way. They don't communicate that to the university. So on one side, university designed their curriculum mostly in isolations, and the industry rarely communicate what their future needs are. So there's no, converging. There's no, coming together. And if you look in some countries, let's say, for example, look at Singapore, or Germany. Yeah? So the economic planners, they sit down with educators yearly. The economic planners, they sit down with the educator on a yearly basis to forecast skill demand 10 years ahead. We don't do that. We don't do that. So that there is that sync, the synchronization between what the industry wants, what the demands are, and what the educator can provide. Or can focus, or can design. Eh? So we don't do that. And that's why there's that mismatch. So our focus more is on the demand of a student, how many of the students that are enrolling in terms of the field, rather than actually the demand of the market. Eh? That's the difference. How many students do we have? So who actually want to do business administrations? So we're thinking more of how many, in terms of those are bringing in more money rather than actually thinking in terms of what is the market demand? What is the industry demand? So the other problem is the youth unemployment pressure. The report says youth unemployment is over 44%. And that's actually quite huge. And graduate unemployment, young people with a degree, but no jobs. So that is really, really, really growing. And that is, so now the problem is that that's when you're looking into it this way, look at it in this way, okay? You have, let's think of now the education is free. Maybe in the other time you pay, even the government have paid by that time. Now, so if we feed, if many young people actually are in the field that, and that are so saturated, end up without no job. So that is a waste of talent, and is also a waste of, you know, a waste of investment. So it's a wrong, we invested in a field that produced no work, that has no market. So you understand? So that's not well money spent. And I think that we need to be very, very, very careful now when it comes to, you know, free university studies. So if our graduates are trained in area the economy cannot absorb, well, frustration will build. And we have seen in some other countries, and that frustration has social consequences. You know, sometimes think of migration. Some people actually, which is not bad, you know, if you have to go to some other countries where your skills are needed, brain drained. And even, this is when the worst comes, unrest. The more you have these people now sitting at home doing nothing, the more you're likely to create that unrest. You know, so the other thing also, when we talk about mismatch, is also many, many families, and this is some kind of traditionally or culturally, some social bias, you know. So many families steer children towards safe careers, you know, especially if you come in certain regions, the popular, there are those safe careers, if you like. Teaching, public administration, nursing, all those kind of things, because they feel those jobs are stable. You know, those jobs are stable, but stable doesn't always mean available. You know, I'm actually doing some becoming a rhythm. You know, not rhythm. What is that when you have what is that rhythm of I forgot the word. Never mind. So what I'm saying is that stable, it doesn't always mean available. So the job could be stable, but as we're talking about, this is more saturated a field, there will be no job available for many of those. Now, engineering or agriculture may seen as a less glamorous. Sometimes you see those are seen as less glamorous, but those jobs can pay well and feed. And normally that's the important thing, feed the industry. They feed the industry. So now we need a mindset shift alongside policy reform. That's basically what we need to do. You know, that mindset shift, because we tend to think, oh, engineering, all this agriculture are not glamorous or difficult or whatever the case may be. So we needed that mind shift. And also, but we also need a police reform, because since was last time updated in 2004, you know? So, but there are also some, in my opinion, humble opinion, there are also, you know, certain things maybe not said aloud enough in this report, you know? Now, all right, I think that there are things that are not, you know, mentioned or dealt with in the report. Think of the rural Namibia. The rural Namibia has a talent. But when you think of the people now in the rural, they lack science labs. They lack qualified math teachers. You know, they lack career guidance. Now, imagine if you are not early exposed to this, you know, without earlier exposed, kids cannot picture themselves in technical careers. If you're not exposed to these things earlier, you can't picture yourself in a technical career because you're not exposed to it. So somehow, as I said, that are also issues that hasn't been looked at. You know? And the other things that we need to be very careful of is that they stay, for example, green energy and technological skills. These are in a higher demand worldwide. Okay? Those are higher demand in worldwide. So you, if Namibia doesn't train its youth in this field, foreign company will bring in expatriates. They will bring in expatriate. And local graduate lose what? They lose out. They lose out and our wage goes well. Our wage bill goes abroad. So, and there's also something that I need to mention here quickly before I hand over to Tate France, is that it's too easy to blame the education system sometimes. We can easily blame the education system. Business in Namibia also needs to invest in things like internship. They need to invest in internship, apprenticeship. Yeah, they need to invest in apprenticeship. Yeah, they need to invest in scholarship, you know, invest in scholarship in shortage areas. Now realize, okay, these are shortage areas in Namibia. Let's invest scholarship in those areas. Yeah? So if the interests sit back, if now the business people sit back, of course the gap won't close. Yeah? The gap won't close, definitely. So I think that's something that we also need to look at. And before I gave it quickly also that France, the other thing is also agriculture, for example, is not just farming, you know, and the understanding of what we know, people just think about farming. So it is agri-tech, it's food processing, it's export logistics. So higher value work, you know. But without trained specialists, we keep exporting. That's the process. We keep exporting raw material instead of finished goods. We will keep exporting, you know, those raw materials. So, yeah. Anyway, we couldn't go through. There are a couple of things that I wanted to talk on this. I'm just going to halfway. But, yeah. I think it's something that you can look at the report. It's very worth looking at because it's very interesting to understand where we are. Let me hand you over to Tate France. Kamatikoka Pofi. So you're probably waiting already. And wish you a very good listening over the course of the day. And for me, Marco Chiavelli. It's a goodbye for now. Until tomorrow, make sure that you vote tomorrow. All right, we talk tomorrow. Bye for now.